Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Catchy little tune, isn't it? Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. It's the Steve Cochran Show with your substitute host today, Dean Richards. Nice to be here with y'all.
Happy to have you here.
For some reason, I'm channeling Uncle Bobby today.
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't know why. When I was up in the office, we had pictures of Wally and Uncle Bobby and, you know, all the WGN legends up in the hallway today. For some reason, I've walked past this picture a million times in my many decades here. I don't know why today. I stopped.
And dared.
I stopped. I looked at Bob's picture. I just sort of reflected on it today, and now I just said y'all.
It's kind
of
cool,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good sound for you, I think, Dean.
You think?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, darling. Hey, darling.
That's not bad.
God, I miss him. I miss him. I got to say, I'm a little tired today.
Are you?
I stayed up and watched the whole Donald Trump rally last night.
Did you really?
Because I figure I'm doing this show today. Uh-huh. Normally, I don't have to watch Donald Trump rallies unless Ariana Grande shows up at it or some...
Which is highly unlikely at
some
this
entertainment,
point.
I would think, although that would be entertaining. So I stayed up and watched the whole thing and then watched some of the analysis of all the talking heads afterwards. I thought that I maybe fell asleep and it was 2016 again.
And dozed off.
It's a campaign rally. I haven't watched the Donald Trump rally in a long time.
Wake you up?
It's completely a campaign rally.
I didn't
rally.
Fall asleep during it. I just thought somehow I was magically transported back to 2016. It's exactly the same speech that he gave during all of his rallies before.
And it's strange because he's given this speech not only during the campaign, but during his presidency. He's had several of these rallies now with the campaign theme.
I don't get it. It's not for me to say what kind of rallies he has or get togethers with voters or whatever. It's more than interesting that he is still campaigning.
He's doing it now, yeah.
To me, I don't get the, you know, there are new things on the plate.
Oh, I completely agree. Oh, there's so many
things.
Move
on. He's still talking about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Oh, my gosh.
It's over. You won.
I know.
You moved on. And then we're going to talk more about the election later with Pat Brady. Is going to be here later and offer some analysis on it all. We'll open up the phone lines. I'm curious to see what some of you thought. I was rather amazed at the whole thing.
Oh, I was too. And what I was even more amazed at, Dean, is that the mayor of Phoenix was saying, please don't come because there were going to be protests. They had 1,000 people waiting the night before or the morning of waiting with their signs, and they were going to rally. And four people got arrested. It was relatively peaceful. But then they had to spray some pepper spray at a certain part of the group at one point with four arrests. How is this happening? You know, the election's over.
Todd.
He's the president. Let's move on. Let's try and get a few things done. An infrastructure bill. You want to work on Obamacare? Let's do it. Let's just stop talking about it.
I'm amazed by it in so many ways. Yeah. And I don't want to start off. I don't want to start off trashing the whole thing. I have some thoughts on it. I'm really much more curious about what Pat Brady thinks about it and what some of the others. He'll be on with us today. We've got a pretty interesting variety of guests on the show today, from Pat Brady to our pal Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Governor Rauner had a very busy day yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
Rick's going to go over all of that. Jim DeRogatis, the former music critic of the Chicago Sun-Times, now instructor at Columbia College, freelance writer of music, who has been meticulous in following this R. Kelly story, has some new revelations in the R. Kelly story. New accusers have come forward in this R. Kelly story. So Jim is going to join us a little bit later on.
Are you surprised with this story? It's such a crazy story, and you thought it was over back when it was over, when it wasn't convicted. Then it starts up again, and now again.
Yeah, the You know what? Nothing is surprising me that's going on right now.
Right, 2017.
Somehow we're living in the twilight zone right now. We are living in a rather peculiar time in the world.
Let me restate.
What else do we have? Oh, we've got a couple of the performers from a show that Andrea and I love. Dave, have you seen the Cirque du Soleil?
I have not. I would like to see it. We met some of the performers.
How does a Dave Ennett not scam some free tickets for a show like
you
this?
Oh,
I don't. I never scam.
So you
free
wanna,
tickets are okay. I'll I just don't scam them.
I'll tell you what. You pay me the money, and then I'll get your tickets for you.
That sounds reasonable.
Yeah, that sounds like not going to rip him off at all.
Sounds like a plan.
We've got a couple of the performers to come in and talk about this amazing show that's still going on in Chicago. There's huge Hamilton news this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know this?
I just saw this press
release. A new block of tickets just went on sale.
Yep.
They haven't gone on sale yet, but they announced that a new block of tickets are going to go on sale this coming Tuesday. Tuesday morning, another block of tickets that will take performances through April of 2018.
Excellent.
So if you still haven't seen Hamilton and you want to get tickets, Tuesday's going to be a great opportunity to get some tickets. And this is a must-see show.
Yeah, and good Christmas present, too, because now they're extended. You can get the Christmas present and
good
holiday gifts, and because it's extended now.
I don't know if I like anybody enough to give them Hamilton tickets.
Dave?
I haven't seen it yet. Yes.
You have not seen Hamilton yet?
No, I have not.
How is that possible?
What do you mean? God, it's expensive.
We're media people.
Yeah,
I know. Well, get me some tickets, Dean.
Dave, have you seen Hamilton?
I've seen it twice, Dean.
Oh, good.
And I paid for tickets both times.
Crazy. That's crazy talk.
That is crazy talk. I've seen it twice, too.
Pay for tickets? Yeah. What?
You guys must have took the free tickets that nobody gave me and Mary.
Yeah.
No, we were working.
Yeah.
Covering.
Yeah.
I guess when
you
get to the seventh floor, you don't get any tickets.
Yeah.
Well, that may be. That'll all be different when we're in the new building.
Right. We'll all be together.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
All right, be gentle with me. This is my first top six at six.
Okay. Great.
Brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. At number six, do we have a thing that goes number six? We just start off.
There you go.
Okay. All right. So I say at number six.
Bottom or top?
We don't really rank them.
This is great. You'll remember this forever. It's a special day. This is a special moment.
This is very exciting to me. Let's start off at the bottom here with, because, you know, I'm the entertainment guy. Mark Wahlberg has topped the Forbes list of the highest paid actors.
Wow.
That's not a surprise to me.
Seriously? See, I would think it'd be more like a Brad Pitt or somebody.
Hasn't done a movie in a couple of years.
That's
number
true.
Just on that regard. But you might think it would be, you know, more of like an Academy Award winning kind of actor.
Yeah.
But Wahlberg, I think brilliantly, balances both of those things, but he was in Transformers. He's in all of these popcorn movies that get huge box office numbers. In addition to the fact, I'm guessing that part of his money with this is his production company. He produces television shows. He produces movies. He's way more than just Marky Mark.
You know, and he does commercials too. I saw him doing commercial for the other day.
Like DirecTV or Xfinity or one of them.
Remember him on Saturday Night Live? Hey, Donkey, say hi to your mother.
One of my favorites. I love that.
He won an Oscar for Ted, didn't he?
An Oscar for Ted? That movie had more Oscars than any. More than Titanic, Avatar, any of them. Ted. I want to go watch Ted today now. All right, so we move on.
It's paper crumpling.
Wow.
Dave's crumpling
You'll
the paper.
You'll get used to it.
I had no idea the production value on this show was so high. I'm a little intimidated by that. At number five, State Senator Madigan has called off the Wednesday session today.
House Speaker Madigan
is what I meant to say. Mm-hmm. There will be no override vote on Governor Rauner's education funding veto for now.
For now.
So what is the latest on all of that?
Well, what happened is he canceled the plan. He said that the Four Tops met yesterday. Citing,
the singers? The Motown
no,
singers?
No, not those guys. No, the Four Top legislative leaders, which we affectionately
ain't no
call
woman like the one I got.
They did meet for several hours yesterday.
Sugar pie, honey bunch. pay any money. I'll just tell you right now. I'll pay a year's salary to hear Madigan and Governor Rauner sing Sugar Pie, Honey Bunch together.
Oh, I don't know if they do it. For that, you know, for minimum wage.
Which would be Sugar Pie and which would be Honey Bunch?
I don't know. Madigan would be one, Colorton might be another. Rauner, that's a whole nother group.
Anyway,
well, they spent most of the day trying to work to an agreement on overriding SB1, the education funding bill, but now Madigan says, nope, we're going to skip the override vote today. Talks will continue, and the group is scheduled to meet again tomorrow in Chicago to keep talking.
All right, so Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune is going to be joining us later on. He'll talk more about that. Also, as we were talking about a moment ago, President Trump preached at the most unbelievable rally, and the greatest rally, the greatest rally, the biggest rally ever in Phoenix last night, spending a lot of time trashing the news media, the fake media. He said fake media, liars.
He said they were the most dishonorable people.
Most dishonorable.
Call them weak, dishonest, ridiculous.
Went through that, but tried to justify his comments about Charlottesville with very selective choosing of words of things that he actually did say, but also selectively leaving out all the incendiary things that he said that have garnered all of the criticisms from Republicans and Democrats alike. Said the things that I found most shocking in this, that he said he had no problem shutting down the government in order to get his wall. Shutting down the government.
Right.
To get the wall. He more than implied that he was planning on pardoning this Joe Arpaio.
The former sheriff, yes.
Who was convicted in illegal roundup of immigrants. It was just really a remarkable event last night.
There was so much stuff going on, and I use that word gently, going on in that speech. As you said, you had the crooked media, he was talking about the KKK, sick coverage, Joe Arpaio, as we said, the former sheriff in Arizona, now he says he might pardon him. It's just, there's so much going on. I don't know what to listen to. My head's spinning when I'm listening to all of this.
Yeah, and one of the other things that really bothered me during this whole thing is his trashing of John McCain. But also say, I'm not going to say anyone's name. He was clearly talking about John McCain.
Right.
It's like an 8-year-old. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. You know, right. I've got four older brothers. I know that routine. I know the I'm not touching you routine pretty well.
Completely.
I'm not going to say anybody's name. Mm-hmm. You're saying his name.
And you're
saying the name of a person who is a national war hero. Mm-hmm. Respected war hero, even though you trashed him during the campaign.
Right.
You are trashing somebody who is fighting brain cancer right now because he voted his conscience. That's what people are supposed to do who are in these leadership positions, vote their conscience, vote what they think is right. But this...
And someone else, too. Arizona has another senator as well.
Jeff Flake.
Who was all shot at earlier this year when he was on the field, the congressional softball game. And Trump saying, nobody wants me to talk about him. No one knows who the hell he is. Yeah. Not mentioning any names. Well, you're insulting Arizona's two senators here.
Yeah. We'll talk.
In a state where the mayor said, please don't come.
We're going to talk more about the speech last night and include lots of different opinions on this because I know some of you, you know what really is amazing to me, how some people can listen to what he says and support him. God bless you. If you like the guy and you support him, I just cannot understand that. And I hope before the end of the show today, someone can explain that to me. And as we move on, the Vice Admiral Joseph Aucoin, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Vice Admiral Joseph Aucoin, mm-hmm. He was relieved of duty. He was the head of the U.S. Navy's largest overseas fleet. The fleet experienced four collisions since January, two of which were fatal, adding to fears of a U.S. decline in Asia.
Right. They're going to have two, which essentially is like a sea stoppage. They're going to stop all of these ships and fleets until they can investigate and see what happened, which is a huge undertaking to do.
We move on now. Google will start offering Walmart products on Google Express.
Why? Living at Google or Walmart?
It's just funny to me that this is a top story. Ladies and gentlemen, we're breaking into our regular programming to tell you today that merchandise is going to be sold on Google Express, the search company's online shopping mall, in order to compete with Amazon. Have you used any of these services?
Amazon.
I've used Amazon. I don't know what
everybody uses Amazon.
Google Express? Do you know? I don't even know what Google Express is.
I have to be honest. I didn't know about this until just the other day. I don't. I would like to see some stats about how many people use it. I mean, Amazon. There's no way they can compete against Amazon.
You haven't seen all the Google Express trucks on the expressway?
No. I've never seen. I almost got hit in the head the other day with a drone. Was that it?
That was
Amazon.
Maybe.
And didn't I hear earlier, I think I may have heard Steve say this, that isn't Whole Foods supposed to debate today whether or not they're going to merge with Amazon?
Yeah.
Today's the closing.
Is that today?
The shareholders will decide today whether they're going to close the deal or not. So,
that's exciting. Deal. All right.
I'll take a $50 apple and a $16 banana delivered to my front door.
But it got here in less than 24 hours.
Yeah. You may actually get maybe a $10 apple or a $10 banana.
Cool.
Prices will go down a little.
All right. And finally, the Cleveland Cavaliers sent Kyrie Irving to the Boston Celtics. And for that, we go to Dave Ennett.
It's a big deal. And it's interesting because the Cleveland Cavaliers, who've been to the finals three straight years, Kyrie Irving wanted out because he didn't want to play with LeBron James anymore, apparently, and wanted to kind of be in a situation where he could be the guy. And so he goes to Boston, which, by the way, will open the season in Cleveland October 17th. So that'll be fun.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's we'll have more on that coming up later on as well. I don't know about you guys. This is only my first top six at six, but maybe the greatest experience in my broadcast career.
I thought it was very smooth.
Nice job.
Very smooth.
I think I got the hang of it by four, something like that.
You get the sitting ovation.
that's what I deserve. Brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Man.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
With Uncle Dean filling in today, it's Dean Richards. Steve's off. Steve's off the rest of the week, I believe.
He is.
All right. Well, we're happy to be here filling in, and a real pleasure to have on the program with us next Sherry Runner, who is the president and CEO of the Chicago Urban League. The Chicago Urban League is putting on a big event tonight, convening on racial equity from millennials to baby boomers. Sherry, very nice to have you on the program this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank goodness we're living in a world right now where there are no problems with racial equity. There's just nothing but peace, love, and harmony in the world right now.
Yeah.
This event that you're having tonight, the timing on this couldn't be more poignant. Talk to us a little bit about what's going to be happening tonight. By the way, being moderated by our own Domitee Pungo from WGN News, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our favorites and one of the bright stars in the broadcast industry.
I couldn't agree more. Right?
we love Domitee, but the idea here is that the Urban League has been talking about this issue of race for a while. I mean, obviously, we're 100 years old. We've been recognizing that there are issues around race and equity in our culture for a very long time. As we have come upon this last few years, we thought maybe everybody was under the impression that there was or had become complacent about the fact that this was no longer an issue for the United States, but it always has been. And we have really been trying to talk about what do we need to do to bring this forward and think about the things that we can do to change the environment.
What do you think are some of those bullet points? You know, we could spend all day, you know, really getting into it, but you know, just in 30 seconds or so, what are some of the major things that you think can be or should be done right now to try to achieve those?
Well, we have to have real conversations. I mean, this is not about statues. And when we start to get hyped up on what is being put across social media or what is being talked about, generally we're not talking about what's the history, what's the truth, what are the things that we really need to do in order to make sure that all people in the United States, all people all over the world, actually, have equal access to resources and to the ability to achieve. And so there's all kinds of things that we have to think about. That's education, that's jobs, that's a whole lot of frank and honest talk. And the point of tonight is, as we think about the difference between the baby boomers, my generation, who lived through the civil rights or grew up in the civil rights movement, and the millennials who are growing up in this social media environment, how do we approach talking to each other and thinking about things that are important to race relations?
And you would think that since we've gone through the civil rights movement, since we've gone through so much in the past couple of generations in America, that we would be much further along than we are. It seems like, I think a lot of people would agree, we are worse off today than we were in the 1960s.
Oh, I wouldn't say that at all.
Really?
I wouldn't say that we're worse off at all. I think that what we are doing is actually recognizing how bad we've been and what we need to do and really what we need to talk about. This is certainly not worse off. This is certainly just a recognition of the fact of what is the reality in America, and that I think that's important. It was easy and nice to think that when President Obama was elected that we had surpassed some milestones, crossed some hurdles, but that wasn't true. And I think that what you're seeing, and when people say we're worse off, the thing that they're seeing and thinking about is the fact that now we have to face reality, the reality of what that opinion is, that undercurrent is, the fact that we still have a very strong white supremacist neo-Nazi undercurrent in our society, and that's real.
Well, that's why I made that statement. So when you see neo-Nazis marching in the street and the kind of hate that you see in the street, it takes you back to Selma. It takes you back to those days, you know, that we've seen before. The event is tonight from 6:30 to 8 o'clock at the Chicago Urban League at 4510 South Michigan Avenue, convening on racial equity from millennials to baby boomers. I'm sure it's going to be a great conversation, some great ideas exchanged. Sherry, I appreciate that you could join us today to give us a little preview of what could come tonight. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
It's Dean. In for Steve. Dean Richards, the Steve Cochran Show. Yo, laying down some beats for you this morning. On WGN. Going to be joining the WGN TV News in a couple of minutes. Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad right now having a conference deciding if they want to talk to me or not.
And they're all giving you a thumbs up.
Well, you never know.
One.
Yeah, you never know. Sometimes I get a thumbs down. I have to go back to my desk.
Do you kind of feel like something's missing when you're not on with them in the morning?
Makeup. I don't have to put makeup on. That's nice. So we'll join them coming up in a couple of minutes. Normally, I am the keeper of the Sunday morning show here on WGN. It was the very end of the program last Sunday where we got the news that Jerry Lewis had passed away.
Yeah. That was during your show.
It was. We were doing my food time segment, and so like kind of in one part of my brain, I'm thinking about that. But at the same time, in my other ear, literally, they're telling me that Jerry Lewis had died. So we had to make that transition. This coming Sunday, my full final conversation that I had with Jerry Lewis.
Oh, nice.
From 2005, I think it was. So we're going to share that coming up in a little while. Do we have Larry and Robin?
Yes. Good morning,
Dean. Good morning, you guys. Here with Andrea Darlis and Dave Ennett, and we've
good
got
morning.
Some entertainment news.
Hey, guys.
And a little special surprise at the end of all this. Huge news if you are a Hamilton fan this morning. A new block of tickets is about to go on sale The musical has played to sold-out crowds since it opened last October at the Private Bank Theater. Producers announced a new 16-week block of tickets will go on sale this coming Tuesday, August 29th at 10 a.m. Tickets for the performances now will take us through April the 29th of next year. They can be purchased at the theater box office, at Broadway in Chicago's telephone ticket line, or online at BroadwayInChicago.com. We were talking about this on the radio a little while ago. Mark Wahlberg has been named the world's highest paid actor by Forbes magazine. Wahlberg earned $68 million over the past year. Last year's top-ranked star, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, came in second with $65 million. Johnson's Fate of the Furious co-star Vin Diesel came in third at $54.5 million. I bet Bradley Cooper loves that. And Adam Sandler and Jackie Chan are rounding out the top five. Also, the Clooneys are in the news. George and Amal Clooney have joined the fight against hate groups in the United States. Their foundation just donated $1 million to the Southern Poverty Law Center immediately after the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia. President Trump said there's blame on both sides. Clooney said, Amal and I want to add our voice and financial assistance to the ongoing fight for equality. They said there are no two sides to bigotry and hate. And finally, Chicago's very own Common is going to be starring in a new television series for Starz. It's an adaptation of the Black Samurai book series being produced by Jerry Bruckheimer. Common will play an American Army Ranger who trains as a samurai. The series will be an update to the books, a 1977 movie with a mix of spy and martial arts genres. Common says he's beyond excited, and air date for Black Samurai has not yet been announced. All right, so back here on WGN Radio, you guys, you know, it's friendly chat talk radio here this morning. You know, we have nothing better to do than wish people happy birthday. And on the phone line, you guys, this morning, we have Annabella Vall from the WGN-TV Morning News Around Town feature. Anna, are you there?
I'm right here.
Happy birthday.
So is this TV radio at the same time?
This is all the WGNs you can get all wrapped up in one right now.
Mind blown. Mind blown.
How are you celebrating your birthday today, Anna?
With Swery Mary and a mind reader.
Oh, that's how everyone should spend their birthday.
That does not get any better than that, seriously.
If we could get a little person, then that'd be great.
Well, you know, the morning's young. I know you've got your around town features. I'm sure Larry and Robin have all kinds of special birthday things planned for you.
We're sorting it out now.
Right.
Yeah. Finding...
Stay tuned.
Those same old crappy birthday presents that we pass around to each other every year.
Did you send Larry's intern to the Jewel?
Right. That's right. You've got a day-old sheet cake with your name on it.
We don't have money for that, Anna.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.
See you guys later on. Happy birthday to you, Anna.
Hey, guys, today at daytime high reading, they'll climb to about this.
We didn't get to talk.
Anna, normally we sing, we do the happy birthday song in Greek.
Yes.
But
did you notice how quickly Larry hung up?
Yeah.
Larry gave us the bums rush. Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming.
You wrapped us up. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, bye-bye.
This is the part.
Thank you so much.
This is the part of the show where Larry has a very important wacky website to show.
Website, yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's why Around Town gets shortened sometimes, because he really, really needs to show you something that went viral.
Anna and I are, we're pretty much at the end of every hour, so Anna and I take the brunt of whenever Larry finds a video of a kitty, you know, that's playing the piano or something like that.
Do you guys hear most often, wrap it up?
I have to cut this story, I have to cut that story, right.
But I have to say, you know, we were taking our class picture the other day, and truly, really, we like everybody who works with us.
Yeah.
We're really blessed, because I was looking at that giant group of people that is now the WGN Morning News, and behind the scenes and in front and on camera, what you see, the way we treat each other, we really like each other. We really kind of love each other.
It's very true.
God, that's so contrary to everything that you said before. No, completely kidding.
I meant about you guys not liking each other. You know, that's funny that you say that, Anna, this big group that now has become the TV Morning News. In my office at home, I have one of the original posters from when you and Val Warner and Pat Tomasulo, and there were just like five of us, there's like six of us on the show. Yeah. That's it. And now, there's 247 people on the TV Morning Show.
They're slowly finding the younger versions of us.
That's very, very sad, but true. Well, when you see Anna on the streets today around town, where are you around town today, by the way?
Jefferson Park. There's something called the Fringe Festival that happens in Jefferson Park this time of the year. And one of our favorite mind readers, Mark Toland, will be with me around town. Every time I'm with him, I'm completely freaked out. And so we're going to be there live. And but, you know, this is what I do every morning, Dean. I drive to around town listening to the Cochran Show, and it was just a wonderful surprise to have you on.
Well, if you listen to the Cochran Show that you know on a birthday, we love nothing better than to play this.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Annabella Val. WGN TV Morning News. Oppa!
I could listen to this all the time. Without a doubt, one of the best soundtracks ever from an American musical, truly an American musical. Hamilton, that's over at the Private Bank Theater these days. And they just announced this morning that another block of tickets are going to go on sale. You know what that means. That I'm going to be standing out there probably on Tuesday morning talking to people who have been up all night waiting in line to get tickets for Hamilton. It's always a huge deal. This coming Tuesday, tickets are going to go on sale that will take the show then through April 29th. Of 2018. And so since I'm going to be over there anyway, Andrea, if you want me to pick anything up?
Let me see. I've maximum, seen it. I love it.
Maximum purchase of 12 tickets per household.
You know what? Get me 12, and then I'll sell those on Craigslist. I'm kidding, Steve.
Tom Skilling's extended forecast for Tuesday morning?
I should get that, but I guarantee you it's not going to make one bit of difference.
No.
He'll still be there.
We could have 12 inches of snow on Tuesday, people will still stand in line to get those tickets.
Oh, my gosh, seriously. How about when they first went on sale, and the people were there for 2 and 3 nights, and they had little lawn chairs?
Yeah, crazy. Crazy time. The tickets will range $65 to $190 for regular performances. Some seats are premium seats that are available for all the performances. And they're still doing that online lottery, by the way. 44 tickets for $10 a piece.
Wow.
For all the performances. And lottery seats vary different locations, but they always also include seats in the very first row.
Oh,
which I know sounds like a great deal, except you're looking up Miguel Cervantes' nostrils.
And that's okay.
It's a little too close.
He's got nice nostrils.
I mean, for $10, you can't go wrong.
No.
But anyway, if you've been trying to get some Hamilton seats, Tuesday will be the day that next block of tickets go on sale for that.
You know what I love what Broadway in Chicago has done, too, for the Chicago public school students who might not have an opportunity to go see Hamilton? They've had a couple of these days, Dean, where they have the school students come in and they can perform their own poetry and spoken word and performances,
the kids,
and then they see the show.
Yeah, the kids do Hamilton projects in school. They write their own poetry, write their own songs.
Yeah.
All based on American history, and then at the end of a performance that the kids get to see, then they get to go on the stage with the performers and perform what it is that they created.
It's so cool.
So it's just win. This whole Hamilton phenomena is not only is it incredibly entertaining, just as a strictly theatrical performance, but how cool that kids are so into it.
Yeah,
the kids know history. That the kids are. The kids are begging their parents to take them to go see it. So the bottom line is, you're a rotten parent if you don't go get...
wait in line.
You're a terrible parent if you don't go get some tickets on Tuesday when they're available. Our friend Steve Burness is here from the Better Business Bureau, president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau. My longtime friend, welcome back. Nice to have you.
Thank you
with
so
us.
Much for having me again today, Dean.
How many years now with the Better? You just have to be one of my first guests ever on WGN.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, 30 years ago, I think. I started almost 30 years ago, celebrating in September. So it's a long career with the BB, my only career, too. So
all I know is I had a full head of wavy hair back then.
I think we all did.
Well, you still do. That's not fair.
That's right.
Are there theater and entertainment scams, things that Better Business Bureau warns about. It occurred to me while we're talking about tickets. Mm-hmm. You know, people get burned with counterfeit tickets things like that all the time.
Exactly. The first day of Hamilton, we had several low calls for fake tickets that they bought on Craigslist as well. And the ushers now have a brochure in their pocket telling them that you've been scammed and what to do. So basically, it happens so often that they preprint information to the consumers who walk up and
so how do people prevent that? How do you know? I mean,
The only way, Dean, is going to a licensed ticket broker, somebody you know and trust. Going on Craigslist is buying somebody down an alley. You don't know who they are, they can't tell if the tickets are counterfeit or not. You cannot tell, or if they've been Xeroxed, or with the advent of all these computer high tech and printers, now you can't tell the difference.
Very easy to print something that looks exactly like a real ticket.
Exactly.
Now.
And then you get these college students who then try to sell them, or somebody else trying to sell these fake Hamilton tickets. And the one on the opening day of Hamilton, I remember it was her daughter's 16th birthday. She wanted to take her for her 16th birthday. And the scammer, con artist, allegedly college student says, "I hope you have a happy birthday," and knowing that he's giving her fake tickets. It's amazing.
That's heartbreaking.
Isn't it? Is.
Because these kids are so looking forward to seeing the show. Ticket box office, Broadway in Chicago.com, they have a specific phone number.
Exactly.
Those are the safest places.
And licensed ticket broker.
Make sure
they are
licensed ticket brokers.
Exactly. But not the ones you just pick up on Google. You never know who these companies are. You got to be careful. It might not be the venue either. So we have a lot of companies that use the trick URLs that may have additional character in there, and you think you're actually going to the venue, and it's actually just a third party selling tickets.
Right.
So you got to be very careful.
Almost, if it seems like too good of a deal, it probably is.
Exactly.
Let me take a quick break. We're going to get a quick update on traffic. We'll come back and talk about some other scams that you want to warn about.
Sure. Great.
And it just seems like they're everywhere now. I mean, the great part of the internet is the world is at our fingertips. The bad part of the internet is that there are so many scams now that can trap you in all of that.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
With Dean Richards in for Steve today, taking care of business with our pal Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau. And this is a time of year for back-to-school scams, but every day is time of year, Steve, for scams against senior citizens. They seem to be the most vulnerable to whether it's online scams, phone scams, I'll bet.
Phone scams.
Even more, right, for seniors?
Especially because they answer their phones or their home, actually door-to-door. We're seeing a surge in senior citizens' complaints or elderly complaints recently. And most of it's coming to those people just knocking at your door. You don't know who they are. And they tell you anything you want to hear, and then sometimes they get into your house, and sometimes they try to, you know, we recently had a release with the Commonwealth Edison where they have the fake utility workers, where they come in and say, well, you got to go to your basement, look at your electricity, you let them in, and then you go downstairs with the first guy, and then the second guy comes in the door and steals everything you have valuable upstairs. So you got to be very careful. If somebody comes to your door, always ask who they are, and if they have identification, don't open the door yet and call that company. So if it's ComEd, People's Gas, Nicor, or whomever, call that organization, make sure they have somebody in that area. Don't let them in and then ask the question.
Don't let somebody in. If you didn't ask for somebody to show up at your door, do not let somebody in. Because seniors are so trusting, aren't they? They just figure, well, if you're wearing a yellow vest and you have a hard hat, you certainly must be official.
Exactly.
So I'm going to let you in. Oh, there's something wrong with my electricity. I don't want something to go wrong.
Right, exactly. One of the ComEd employees, they actually saw the vest being sold at a flea market. So it doesn't matter. And if they have fake IDs, some of those as well. So don't let anybody in your house unless you know who they are and check them out as well. But again, if it's an emergency, they say it's an emergency, call 911. Let them, and then you'll see how fast they'll run away.
Yeah. You hear stories all the time of people coming to someone's door and saying, yeah, I'm a contractor. I was just working on your neighbor's house, and I noticed that you have your Flemish Dan is also broken on the side here. Yeah. And are home improvement scams also prevalent?
That's number one, of course. It is still number one because obviously they're home, they answer their door, but people go door to door. They tell them their chimney's about to fall or some dire need. And then with fall coming up, they'll say that you need your furnace checked. It's, you know, smoke's coming out of your chimney. It shouldn't be the wrong color. They give you any type of ruse they want in order to get you to open the door and obviously try to scam you. There's great contractors out there. I'm not trying to, you know, berate all the door-to-doors, but unless you know and check them out first with the Better Business Bureau or other organizations, you don't let them in your house. And you need three estimates anyway, so you would never, somebody comes to your door and says, I could fix your stairs or stoop or whatever it is for $100. No.
Yeah.
You got to get three estimates.
Well, I mean, again, if you didn't call someone and say, come to my house, don't let them in your house.
That is key.
It's that simple. And, my mother is 94 and is, you know, is trusting. I have to kind of check her once in a while.
Right.
It's like, what are you doing? You know better than that.
Exactly.
Well, he seemed like such a nice guy.
Yeah, you can't tell the difference between a con man or a regular person. I've seen many con men in my life, and they look just like us.
What are you looking at me for when you say that? Wait a minute.
There you go.
What about back-to-school issues? Are there scams now as we kind of get into the time of year where kids are going back to school, back to college, et cetera?
Unfortunately, they pick on the kids as well because they know they're away from home for the first times in some situations. And sometimes they just want to, you know, social media has a lot to play with it, and they steal information from the students through social media. And sometimes the kids are a little complacent. They leave their IDs out, they leave their credit cards out, or their bank statements, and before you know it, they're compromised in some way. So there's college students, first time away from them, they think they know it all, like I did. I thought I know it all as well. But you really can't be so trustworthy. You got to protect your information and be careful of what you do online, especially in the Facebooks and the Craigslist as well, because you're starting to click these links. You don't know where they're going. And they can be going to fraudulent organizations, and they put malware on your computer and steal your information. They can watch what you do, and it's so many things out there as well.
A friend of mine was taking her daughter back to college, and just this week she said she was getting already emails from like credit card companies and things of that sort. And at one point her daughter said, oh, can I sign up for the, you know, University of Wisconsin credit card? And it was turned out to be a scam.
Right, exactly. They just want personal information. They'll say anything they want. So people are so trustworthy, especially students, because I was one back then. But you just don't think of that everybody on the phone is a con person. But there are some out there that try to take advantage of you. Anybody asking for your personal information you never called, never met, and nothing to do with, do not give it to them. I don't care what they say. Always check them out with the Better Business Bureau. Check them out with other organizations.
Yeah.
Put the name in Google and put the word scam next to it and see what comes up.
Right.
There's so many ways, but in today's fast-paced society, Dean, as you know, nobody has the time to, you know, to check it out. And the biggest frustration in my job is when people call me and said, I should have called you first. I should have used a Better Business Bureau first. That's probably my 30-year career, the worst thing I have to ever hear. If they call us first, they wouldn't have a scam. So we actually have referral agency. We do customer reviews. We do everything for consumers. The Better Business Bureau has a wealth of information.
Yeah. And as you say, you know, if you're solicited by somebody and you're not sure, all you have to do is say, just give me your information and I'm going to check with the Better Business Bureau and I'll call you back. I guarantee you they're going to go running out of your down the stairs in a way
because
they do not want you checking anything. They want you to make a split second emotional decision at that moment.
Give them cash, whatever it is. They want it right away.
Yeah, you've got a cybersecurity workshop that's coming up October the 11th. Is
correct.
That right?
It's at City Hall. But basically, businesses are scammed as well by, you know, malware and spam and things of that nature and phishing emails. It's a big problem with businesses. I mean, it's going to go into millions and millions of dollars that businesses lose. I mean, it even affects the corporation's financial health. You know, stocks on the company when they've been attacked in some way. So businesses need to be updated on cyber issues and concerns, and we're having actually one at City Hall itself, Chicago City Hall, on October 11th. Come to the Better Business Bureau website, bbb.org/Chicago, and we have all the information about how to protect your businesses because businesses are scammed just as much as consumers.
Yeah, it's a great website to keep handy. Give it to us one more time.
bbb.org/Chicago, and before you buy or hire, make sure you BBB it.
All right. Steve Burness is the president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau. Thank you, my friend.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll update news. Then Republican consultant Pat Brady joins us to talk about President Trump's Phoenix rally last night. That's next on WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Those cameras are going off. Oh, wow. Why don't you just fold them up and take them home? Oh, those cameras are going off. Wow.
the president.
That's the one thing. They're very nervous to have me on live television because this can't happen.
Except that he's constantly on live television that he says that he says that the fake and dishonest media won't put him on. While he was talking about the cameras going off, the cameras were showing him live during the whole time. One of the many amazing moments during President Trump's rally?
Campaign rally.
Well, as I said, I stayed up and I watched the entire rally last night. I haven't done that since the beginning of the primary campaign to watch, the whole thing. Because after a while, they become just kind of the same. And I was amazed that, he wins the election. He's president. Uh-huh. And the rally is exactly the same as any of the rallies that he did. Same talking points, same pushing of the buttons, few things different. But it was exactly the same. I know people say that.
You're not shocked, are you?
I guess not. But I just, you don't witness it yourself, so you don't appreciate it. Pat Brady's on the line with us, frequent guest here on the old Steve Cochran Morning Show. Republican consultant. Pat, how are you doing there, my friend?
Great, guys. How you doing?
Doing very well. And I'm so, I've been so anxious to hear your take on last night's rally in Phoenix by the president.
It's not going very well, to put it mildly. Let's put it in context of what he was trying to accomplish. And it was an announced campaign rally. And every president does this. They fly to a place, do an official event, then they have a campaign rally. So it was supposed to be that. But if you remember, in the primary 2 years ago, he did the same or similar type event in Phoenix. In his campaign, he went from ninth place to first place in a matter of 5 weeks and never really left except for a week being in first place. So I think he was trying to reignite the fire and see if he could get his presidency going again. But you have to put it in context now. He gave the same speech, as you mentioned, as president of the United States, as he did as a candidate who was in ninth place 2 years ago.
Yeah, and it seems, maybe that's the big difference, where it seems more disturbing. Maybe if someone's a Trump supporter, they don't feel that way, but it feels all the negativity, all of the hate that he incites seems much more incendiary now that he is the commander-in-chief than it was when he was a candidate running for president.
Well, it is more disturbing, and most of us assumed, and I've watched every president in my lifetime do it, they grow into the job, they become more presidential, they give better speeches, they're better able to react to crises, they just manage the job better. And we're not seeing that from President Trump. In fact, I agree with you, we're seeing just the opposite, where he's getting angrier, and he lashes out at people. The riff on the media was 21 minutes long.
Yeah, and
it was nonsensical. A lot of it wasn't true. And I'm just trying to maybe explain what he's trying to accomplish. I think he's just trying to rally his base, and that was his audience. But if you see the polling out in the last 24 hours, he's dropped 10 points amongst Republicans. He's really in a free fall.
If you want to rally your base, I get that on either party. But go to a rally then and say, here's what I've done. Now, we're all Americans. We all pay taxes. We pay a lot of tax money in taxes. Go to the rally. Here's what we've done. Here's how jobs are being created. Here's this positive, positive, positive. It's a campaign-style rally. You want to drum up support and show what you've done.
Yeah, except that his base, the chance of USA, USA, USA came after he talked about the dishonest media, right, after he talked about Sheriff Joe, the convicted sheriff there, who the president said last night just got fired because he was doing his job, right, which is completely untrue. When he was talking about how the media lies, really, that's one of the things that I found most ironic about this whole thing, of the president complaining about everybody lying and not telling the truth about him, right, while he stood at that podium and lied and did not tell the truth. This is not opinion.
No.
This is fact, that he stood up there and did not tell the truth about so many things.
Yeah, and I remember during the Clinton scandals when people would say, hey, the minute the president doesn't tell the truth to the American people, he loses his stature as president. And we saw it last night. There were, I don't know, 15, 20 solid lies in that speech. But just getting into or seeing what he has done in the past, I think he just thinks if it worked in the past, it's going to work again. I'm getting away with it. And it becomes almost white noise because he does it so much. And it's not working well for him. He's at 39% this morning, the lowest approval of any president in our history. And he's really taken the Republican Party down with him. And I think that you'll probably see more elected officials speak out once we're beyond the primary filing dates and people are kind of free to go after him, because there is a fear of that 24, 28, maybe 30% of hardcore Republicans that aren't going to support Republicans in the primary that don't support the president. And that's a big concern for him.
Yeah, I want to just take a quick break. We'll update traffic and come right back, talk more with Republican consultant Pat Brady. But I would also just like to open up the phone lines. I don't want to be one-sided about this. If you're a supporter of the president, please feel free to, you know, share what you thought about the whole thing. Because honestly, and I don't mean this flippantly or sarcastically, I don't understand how you can, I don't understand how anyone can listen to a lot of what he says and say, I 100% support this man. I really would like somebody to explain it to me. I'm just trying to understand it. 312-981-7200.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
The point is that those were three different. There were two statements and one news conference. The words were perfect. They only take out anything they can think of. And for the most part, all they do is complain. But they don't put on those words. And they don't put on me saying those words. The media can attack me. But where I draw the line is when they attack you, which is what they do.
President,
when they attack
last night,
the decency of our supporters.
Going over what he felt was a summary of his statements after Charlottesville, and calling the media liars and dishonest for not saying the words that he said last night, but selectively leaving out all of the words that created the firestorm surrounding his statements in the first place. Selectively doing exactly what he was accusing the media of doing last night.
And also to Melania Trump yesterday putting out, I don't know if it was a tweet or a Facebook, thanking Chelsea Clinton for being compassionate and not bullying, coming out against bullying against Barron, because it's Melania's platform.
Yeah, Chelsea came out very strongly saying, leave Barron alone.
Yeah,
leave
and Melania thanking Chelsea yesterday, saying, thank you for not using harsh words or mean words or being mean-spirited, while at the same time the Phoenix rally was going on. It's just a strange juxtaposition.
Republican consultant Pat Brady on the line talking about the president's rally last night. Pat, there were a few things that disturbed me, I guess new things that we learned last night, in which the president said that he would shut down the government in order to get his wall on the southern border. What was your take on that?
Well, our history with government shutdowns is it's terrible for the president's party if that happens. And I don't know where that came from. But again, even in addition to that, the fact that he said we're probably going to get rid of NAFTA, which has an impact on our financial markets. This is entirely inconsistent with what's been going on the last couple of months. When he makes these statements, even though it's at a campaign rally, he's not thinking of the damage he does to the country and people's pocketbooks that are invested in our financial markets, because they can't figure out what the president really wants to do. So those were the two things, the two Dean, I agree with you, I took away policy-wise that didn't make any sense to me. And even if it's a political rally, the president of the United States in this context should not be making those statements.
And what kind of effect might there be on his attack of John McCain? Even though, you know, he went out of his way in this very bizarre, passive-aggressive, I'm not going to say his name, I'm not saying anybody's name, but he was clearly talking about John McCain when he was talking about the one vote that he needed for health care, the one vote that he needed for repeal and replace. I'm not going to say his name, but it was extremely, extremely insulting to John McCain. Does that have an effect on the president with his support from Republican leaders in the Senate and House?
Oh, of course it does. And John McCain's one of the most highly respected and has the highest approval rating of any elected official in the history of our country, and he currently does now. But the stupidity in making that statement in Arizona, McCain's home state, where he just won a primary for the person that Trump is now supporting to run against the other Senator Jeff Flake. Trump trounced this woman terribly, and Senator McCain is still very popular in Arizona. There is a sliver of the base there, probably a lot of whom were at this rally, that don't care for him. But he's always won with big numbers in Arizona. So politically, it just wasn't very smart for him to do that, let alone Senator McCain, a national hero, is battling with potentially fatal cancer right now. You'd think he'd leave that one alone. Yeah.
And Jeff Flake, too. Another Republican. Flaky Jeff Flake, he calls him on Twitter, and now he's being a thorn in his side.
He was one of the most conservative members in the Senate. And the Republican Party, and I think the president has forgotten this, we are the conservative party in this country. And he has done nothing but attack Jeff Flake for the last 7 weeks.
Is there anything that the president can do? I mean, the past couple of weeks after Charlottesville and a whole variety of things, the Republican support seems to be eroding. Is there anything that you would recommend to him if you had his ear to try to turn things around?
Get rid of the Twitter. Listen to the people, General Kelly's new chief of staff, and get more disciplined. When he gave his speech Monday night, love or hate the substance of it, at least it was a disciplined, good speech. And he's done that a couple times. But we've seen again and again and again and again for the last 2 years, he's his own worst enemy. And I think the only thing right now he's kind of got going for him, and I've been saying this for months, if everything is an outrage, then nothing's outrageous. If you listen to the talking heads on the Democrat side last night, they've already gone to talking about his mental fitness, which I think is a stretch, and that tends to backfire more than help what they're trying to get done. So I think if people try to be objective about it, and it's all bad. Listen, I've been a Republican my whole life. That speech last night was sickening. The speech in Charlottesville to me was sickening, to do a moral equivalency with neo-Nazis with others. It just, but I'm just trying to see it. Maybe there's a course correction for him and we can get some things done, but we're getting to a tipping point here after the end of this month that it may be too far gone.
Pat Brady, Republican consultant. Good to talk to you. I appreciate your insights. Thank you, my friend.
Anytime, guys. See ya.
Quick update of the news is coming up next on WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
And this is Dean Richards. I'd feel good, too. The segment where I normally do my entertainment with Steve, do entertainment stories, at least that's what we call it. We're going to do that after 8:30, coming up in a little while, because, Andrea, Rick Pearson's got a brand new bag! Ow! Rick Pearson, from your Chicago Tribune, more importantly, from WGN Radio here on Sunday morning. How are you doing there, my friend?
I am still fighting off that cold from Springfield.
You had that on Sunday. You sound a little stuffed up right now. But feel okay, or are you just doing your Brenda Vaccaro voice?
It's the old I feel okay, but I sound worse than I feel. So how about that?
Well, that could be a metaphor for politics in America and the state of Illinois right now.
Especially after last night's speech by the president, quite a performance in Phoenix.
Was something that really, we'll get back into that a little bit later on, because I want to talk a little bit about, I mean, it was a busy day in Springfield yesterday as well, with the governor saying that he's going to sign a bill to prevent law enforcement in Illinois from assisting immigration enforcement without a warrant. And then we had the House Speaker, Mike Madigan. Well, explain everything that went on yesterday, because it's hard to connect all the dots.
Well, first, today was supposed to be kind of a showdown vote in the Illinois House to override Governor Rauner's rewrite of a bill that would change how state aid goes and flows to public schools. Democrats passed the bill. Governor Rauner rewrote it, basically affecting large parts of funding for Chicago public schools, but also affecting school districts throughout the state. The Senate overrode that. The House, they need Republican votes to do an override. And yesterday, for more than 5 hours, the four leaders, Republican and Democrat, of the House and Senate met in Springfield to try to work out an agreement. And late yesterday, House Speaker Michael Madigan said that he was going to postpone a vote given the progress that had been made in these conversations. Talking to folks like that, the basic Democrats, particularly those affecting Chicago public schools, really wouldn't change under any kind of agreement that could be reached. There might be provisions for allowing schools around the state to have more flexibility in things like outside contracting, something that CPS gets, but something that unions are generally are loath to support. That's on the table, as well as some kind of a tax relief program for parents that send their children to private schools. Negotiations will continue tomorrow in Chicago among the four leaders. Speaker Madigan says if there isn't any agreement next week, he'll proceed with the override vote then. So that's the public schools portion. Then you have the governor's office announced that he would sign on Monday the Trust Act. That's known as the bill that, as you mentioned, would kind of create some kind of separation between local law enforcement and immigration, federal immigration officials, basically saying that people couldn't be detained simply on the basis of their immigration status, and that if federal officials did have a valid criminal warrant, then local police would cooperate. That's basically the substance of that bill. A lot of conservatives have expressed opposition to that bill. So for a Republican governor to sign it is a pretty significant event. A lot of the business community very supportive of that bill. But then there was the kerfuffle yesterday in the governor's office.
I love when you use technical language like that.
It's a political term of art is what it is.
Yes.
The Illinois Policy Institute, a libertarian to conservative self-styled think tank, ran a cartoon last week showing a small black child begging for money from a rich white guy to support the Chicago public schools, support public schools. A number of people, the Black Caucus in Springfield, some Republicans as well, considered the cartoon to be very racist. The governor did not weigh in, said his office said he hadn't seen it. He's got more important things to do. Yesterday, his office issued a statement saying basically that, he's not going to weigh in on how people view art, and that some people say it's racist, other people say it isn't. And as a white male, he won't have any further comment on the subject. Then late last night, shortly after 9 o'clock, the governor's office released another statement. And for the first time I can remember in a long time, the governor disavowed his earlier statement from his office. And while he did not take a position on the cartoon itself, basically tried to remove any reference to his own race and his being involved in this, and saying that he abhors racism and believes that the country should come together.
But still wouldn't say whether or not he thought the cartoon was racist or not.
No. And what makes this relative, he said as governor, it's not his role to comment on art coming from groups coming from outside government. But what makes this relevant is that this Illinois Policy Institute, in the governor's shakeup of his staff, he tapped a number of their top officials to become his top officials in his administration.
Yeah.
So there is a linkage there as well. So this is a kind of another kind of misstep that we've seen from the governor since he did this staff shakeup. And he's basically said he did the staff shakeup because he felt his messaging, there were problems in his messaging. He was having trouble getting the word out. And we've seen kind of a steady number of problems with his messaging over the last few weeks.
Are we, Rick, do you think that we are seeing the result of having a governor and also a president with out political experience now, making very fundamental mistakes along the way because of, you know, you look at the election, they say that, you know, people voted Donald Trump in to drain the swamp. And Governor Rauner famously said, I'm going to shake up Springfield. But in both places, it seems like wheels are spinning, fundamental mistakes are made, things not getting done.
Infighting within the party.
Well, you know, I talked to former Congressman and former Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood about a week ago, and he wrote a book about his life of bipartisanship. And, you know, he was a rock-ribbed Central Illinois Republican sure. congressman. But at the same time, he said, you know, that he frankly was tired of business people coming into government in top jobs and thinking that they can run government like a business. And I do think there is this general element of the fact that when you see this in a general way, they fail to recognize that there are co-equal branches of government and that it's not just a top-down driven system like the CEO and that kind of thing. And truly one of the big problems, I think, with Governor Rauner in trying to move his agenda and the fact that he hasn't really been able to move his agenda is not just the fact that it's Democrats that control the General Assembly, but a lack of effort to really try to find. You need 30 votes to pass something in the Senate. You need 60 votes in the House. And there really hasn't been much effort to be seen to try to work to those votes. And, you know, you take that, you take this era that we live in where compromise is a dirty word, where the divides are so split and that any type of compromise is viewed as a surrender of ideological beliefs and a lack right. of purity and cause. And I think you take all of that together and I think that sums up our political situation, not just in Washington, but in Illinois as well.
Yeah, I think about that when I see things not getting done in Springfield, that Jim Edgar was able to do it and Jim Thompson was able to do it and other Republican governors were able to all, you know, work with democratically controlled House and Senate because they were able to find some compromise and reach over the aisle. And that just seems to be eluding everybody. Locally, regionally, and nationally right now.
Yeah, it used to, I mean, as you point out, and Springfield used to be where those politics of Washington, the nonstop politics, didn't come to Springfield, and that there was kind of a common belief of we need to do what's best for the state. And now we've got the politics of Washington have infected Springfield,
right.
nonstop campaigning, nonstop critical attack ads on TV and mailboxes, robocalls. It's a 24/7 political game we're playing. And, you know, when you call somebody you're supposed to work with corrupt every day, I'm not sure how that moves the needle.
Yeah, that's going to sting a little bit.
Reach compromise.
Yeah, that's going to sting a little bit. You can read more in the Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com. Rick Pearson and his Sunday Spin. Every Sunday morning from 7 to 9 here on WGN. Rick, I appreciate all the insight. As always, we'll see you on Sunday morning.
Thank you much, Dean. Have a great day.
Quick break. Quick check of traffic, actually, is first, and then we'll continue. Mary, what's going on? So there had been allegations against singer R. Kelly, allegations of holding women in a cult-like setting against their will. These had been allegations from parents of these young women, none of which able to be substantiated. They were parents who were worried about their children, and rightfully so. You would understand that. But one woman has come forward mm-hmm. and is the strongest direct allegation in this whole story that music writer Jim DeRogatis has been following. He's going to join us coming up after our 8:30 update, and that's going to come up right after this. It's 8:43. This is Dean Richards in for Steve Cochran this morning on 720 WGN. One of the stories that we've been following in the entertainment department on both on television and here on WGN Radio have been the allegations about R&B singer R. Kelly, allegations that he was holding women in a cult-like setting. Music writer Jim DeRogatis has been following the story for years and years and years, and some new information has come out in the R. Kelly allegation stories. Jim joins us on the phone line right now. Jim, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Sure. Good morning to you.
So explain what the difference is from what the stories that you've had over the past couple of months and what has now come out about Gerhonda Pace, who is speaking out in a way that none of the women who have been involved in this case have spoken out before.
No, you know, since the mid-90s, Kelly has signed settlement agreements paying young women, some of them underage, who had sexual relationships with him, according to court documents. He's been paying them for their silence. They get money. They don't talk. This is the first time in 17 years Chicago Sun-Times ran its first investigative report on Kelly's predilections. In December 2000, that a woman has come forward, broken a non-disclosure agreement at risk to herself, being sued by Kelly, and told a story. There are several just fascinating aspects to the story. Kelly, according to our reporting, began a sexual relationship with her when she was 16. She's from the south suburbs here, Streamwood. She was a fan who attended his trial for child pornography every day in 2008. He was, of course, acquitted, but he faced 15 years of his life behind bars. And he meets this underage woman, a sophomore in high school, and begins a sexual relationship with her right when he's, you know, acquitted, got away with not serving time for 15 years. You know, she walked away from that situation, but a best friend of hers, who was 17, who she introduced to Kelly at that time, also began a sexual relationship, allegedly, is still part of what parents in Georgia and Florida have called a cult, have told police is a cult, and the FBI is investigating that. You know, we don't know where that's going. The FBI, of course, will neither comment, decline, or deny or confirm this investigation. But it's a harrowing tale. Women allegedly are in peril right now. And, you know, this woman is coming forward because she is concerned about them and is talking about it on the record with her name and her photograph.
So what will happen if women are in peril right now? Why haven't authorities investigated more and stepped in more to this point?
I'm uncertain. I've talked to the FBI Field Bureau in Georgia, and there is, I believe, an investigation. I've talked to four people who have been interviewed for hours. But they won't confirm it. Local police, I don't understand. Sheriff Tom Dart, sex trafficking unit, made one well-being check at the recording studio near Union Park that Kelly allegedly houses the women at when he's in Chicago. There's a house in Georgia where he houses the women at when he's there. Police there have made one well-being check. Local police in Georgia and in Chicago have done almost nothing. And I think it's unconscionable. The parents in Georgia intend to join several thousand female activist protesters at Kelly's concert on Friday. There's a concert outside Atlanta. Kelly is being promoted by Live Nation, the biggest corporate concert promoter in the world. They have not canceled that concert despite a request, unanimous vote by the Fulton County Board that concert be canceled. And Sony Music is not commenting. I've reached out to them three times since the first story on July 17th. They're the largest record company in the world. And as of today, you know, they are continuing to benefit from the sales of R. Kelly records, just as Live Nation is benefiting from the sale of concert tickets. And we now have a 25-year history of young women who have allegedly been traumatized and by R. Kelly with these relationships. Sort of unconscionable to me that this story continues.
Yeah, it's just one of the most disturbing stories. Hopefully this new disclosure in it will break it open and finally get some resolution to this whole thing. You can read a lot more on BuzzFeed News. That's where Jim has written his latest article on it. Jim DeRogatis, always good to talk to you. Thank you for joining us, my friend.
Thank you, and I'm sorry for the noise. I'm actually driving down to the south side to talk to another source right now. So sorry about the noise.
I wasn't sure what the beeping is. I thought maybe it was like a side job at McDonald's and the fries were done.
No, I had to drop my beloved wife off at her job. She works for a small place you may have heard of called the Chicago Tribune.
Not familiar with it. Not familiar with the company.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go. Have a good day.
There's Jim DeRogatis joining us. It is 8:51 WGN. Dean Richards filling in for Steve Cochran. As we link up WGN TV, WGN Radio. For my entertainment buzz.
A new block of tickets is about to go on sale for Hamilton in Chicago. The musical has played to sold-out crowds since it opened last October. And Dean joins us live via radio. I didn't know you were joining us.
Hey,
well,
Dean.
You can tell us all about it.
I missed you. I had to come back to give you a couple of stories here in the buzz. As we're filling in on for Steve Cochran on WGN Radio this morning, this Hamilton story probably is the biggest entertainment locally. Another block of tickets going on sale for this unbelievable show that opened last October at the Private Bank Theater. The new block of tickets will go on sale this coming Tuesday at the theater box office, the Broadway in Chicago telephone ticket line, and online at BroadwayInChicago.com. This will take the show now through April the 29th. Ticket prices will go to about, the highest price ticket will be about $165. Mark Wahlberg's been named the world's highest paid actor by Forbes magazine. He earned $68 million over the past year. The top-ranked star last year, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, came in second, $65 million, followed by Vin Diesel, Adam Sandler, and Jackie Chan. George and Amal Clooney are also in the entertainment buzz this morning, joining the fight against hate groups in the United States. Their foundation just donated $1 million to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Immediately after the violence in Charlottesville, where President Trump said there is blame on both sides, Clooney said, Amal and I wanted to add our voice and our financial assistance. And friend of the morning show, Common, is all set to star in a new series for the Starz Network. It'll be an adaptation of the Black Samurai book series. It's being produced by Jerry Bruckheimer. Common will play an American Army Ranger who trains as a samurai. The series we'll update the books in the 1977 movie. An air date for Black Samurai has not yet been announced. So coming up here on the radio, and I guess on CLTV also after 9 o'clock, you guys are going to be talking with a couple of the stars from the Cirque du Soleil show, Lucia. And in the meanwhile, we'll send it back to you guys at TV.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, there
back
you go.
Up around town.
Larry and Robin on our WGN-TV morning news. I hear that there's a hilarious spoof that they've been running today. I've been seeing it up on the monitors, and I've also seen it on social media today. I guess it was Pat Tomasulo, our sports guy, in the morning. It was his 12th anniversary on the WGN-TV morning news, so he did like a fake roast of himself.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
I guess people stepping off, but as if Tom Skilling hasn't gotten enough attention this week.
Didn't he crash the roast or something?
I haven't been able to watch or listen to the whole thing. Maybe we'll have time to play it.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Because I'm sure it's hilarious. But I hear that Skilling outdoes himself in this one, even beyond the famous I'm Tom Freakin' Skilling video from many years ago.
That's one of my favorite videos. Yeah, when the Randy Michaels group, well, Sam Zell took over the company, right, put up the signs everywhere saying, you own this place.
You own this place. So Pat, Pat you know, started acting like he did own the place.
He wouldn't let you in the parking lot.
He wouldn't let me in the parking lot, and I had to use some salty language with him. That's what people remember, number one, Tom Skilling. I'm Tom freaking Skilling.
Yeah.
I could have you killed, I think was the exact quote, and me using some naughty language that kids shouldn't hear Uncle Dean use that kind of language.
And Mel Gibson's probably a real close second to all of that.
That's where I learned the language. Yeah. That's where I learned that kind of language, from my now best friend, Mel Gibson.
Your bestie.
We're going to be on CLTV coming up after 9 o'clock, and we've got a couple of the performers from this show that we love, the new Cirque du Soleil show, Lucia, that's getting ready to wrap up its time here in Chicago. We've got a couple of performers from that who are going to be coming in and joining us. We are going to be joined by Mindy Siegel, who is the pastry chef and owner of Mindy's Hot Chocolate.
Have you been? It is wonderful. in Wicker Park, Bucktown area.
Yeah,
it's
I have
fantastic.
Not. I have not.
They specialize in pastries, which is delicious, but their food is awesome too. Steaks, chicken.
Now you're talking. Now you're talking. I could go without. Isn't that funny? I could go without the pastries. I'm not that big of a sweets person.
And just go for like the steak. Right?
Well, a steak, or if you had like a big bowl of pasta right here, I could eat the whole thing myself.
That would be great. I don't have it right now, but not to say we couldn't work something out.
We're going
to
be talking about that big Chicago Gourmet event that's going to be coming up in Grant Park in September.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal. So we've got a little food talk. We've got a little, little entertainment coming up for you. A little of this, a little of that. All coming up as we continue filling in for Steve Cochran this morning, 8:56. Dean Richards, WGN. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. It's 9:11. This is Dean Richards. Welcome back to the Steve Cochran Show. And taking the morning off of the WGN TV morning news today to be here on WGN Radio and also on CLTV, our 24-hour news channel, as well, with Hamilton news this morning. This is exciting.
This is fantastic.
This is exciting because this is a little show. Hardly anybody's even heard of this show, Hamilton.
Yeah.
Apparently, everyone is going to see this show and loving it.
I thought it was fantastic.
Is the
I did. Sorry, Mary. Poor Mary before
Wait,
was like,
Mary
I didn't
get oh, Mary didn't hasn't gone
She's
to see it.
She's never seen it.
No. I've heard so the whole soundtrack, though. I have heard it.
Mary, what do we have to do to get you to go see that show?
Buy me a ticket.
Mary, open up your wallet, blow the dust off the credit card.
I know.
You know, I liked it better the second time.
I did, too.
I bet you pay, because there's
Sorry,
so
Mary.
Much to take in.
You miss it the first time. You miss
some
a lot
of
it.
Yeah. So I can't wait till the third time.
The first time around.
I know, right? Let's all go for a third time.
Yeah, let's go this afternoon.
I don't think anybody should get to go the second or third time until everyone has seen it once.
Oh, everybody.
Yeah. That's I don't
fair.
Like that rule.
Everybody has to
Come
see
on,
it one time.
It's hard to get tickets.
This Tuesday, it'll be a little bit easier to get tickets because they're going to put a new block of tickets on sale for the show. That's the big story, entertainment story this morning, is that a new block will go on sale Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock in the morning. That will be another 16 weeks of performances. It'll take it through April the 29th, 2018. Mm-hmm. So the tickets will go on sale through the theater box office, Private Bank Theater box office, or whatever the theater's called by then. They change the name of the theater like every 2 weeks over there.
Yeah, they do.
The Broadway in Chicago ticket line and also BroadwayInChicago.com online. So Tuesday is the day you buy the tickets. There's a 12-ticket limit for the performances January 9th through April 29th. And the tickets will range $65 to $190, mm-hmm. which for this show is not that...
It's not
I know,
that bad
I know
at
$200, $190 is a lot to see a show. But this show is phenomenal. This show is you will leave the show and say, that was worth it. That is worth the $190 to see the show.
Yeah, you'll want to learn more about history. It's fantastic.
Right, exactly.
Unlike anything you've ever seen, too.
You want to get more info, go to BroadwayInChicago.com. But Tuesday is... the day for that. That's one of the shows that we've been raving about that even before it came to Chicago. But one of the shows that we've been raving about that sadly will be leaving us here in early September is the new Cirque du Soleil show, Lucia, that I loved. I went to Denver to see it originally. We were doing a preview story for WGN TV. And loved it there, and then it opened here, loved it again here. Truly, this is one of these shows that you could go see the show four or five times and see different things every time that you see the show, because there's so much going on under the big top at one time. There's no way you could possibly absorb everything that's going on, and what you see is mind-blowing that's going on the stage.
Honestly, Dean, I thought it was my favorite Cirque du Soleil that I've ever seen. I thought it was the most beautiful, the most colorful, and you know how there are certain acts that say maybe you just go to see the aerial performers or whatnot. Every single act I loved. The singing, the hoop diving, the pole dancing, everything was just remarkable. The colors were my favorite. Just it was so vibrant and beautiful.
The only negative thing that I can say is after I saw the show, you know, they have that contortionist, Alexi, who's in the show, who does things you can't even believe. So naturally, I go home and I try to do some of those things.
Oh, yeah.
myself and was in traction for like 2 weeks.
Did you go on the coffee table?
Yes,
and just
of course.
Kind of, and put your legs
of
around
course I did.
Your shoulders and under your chin?
Yep,
like
yep.
You did? Yeah.
You've got the perfect visualization. Mm-hmm. It's the show from start to finish is absolutely amazing, and that's why I'm happy to have here in studio with us Devin Henderson, who is does the hoop diving and Chinese pole act, and also Dominic Cruz. I specifically asked for you two guys to come onto the show today because when we were in Denver doing the stories, you guys made me laugh most while we were filming things. Is it fair to say two knuckleheads?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I think knuckleheads are amazing athletes, but like super funny, really nice guys. So it's nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too.
Enjoying Chicago?
Oh man, Chicago is the coolest. I got to say.
Yeah. What have you been doing? I mean, I know you're working all the time and probably train. Before we even get into that, just explain what your day is like, because I would think with the kind of physical stamina that you have, you must be training and preparing and warming up all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, it's important to keep your body in shape, especially for the show, because, you know, we're on stage for 2 hours, basically just like nonstop kind of in and out, changing costumes, this and that. So it's really important that, you know, we are in that physical shape, but also in that mental state of like, okay, we're going to do a show. Some people definitely train more than others. I know that sometimes I'm not as intense on the training as I should be, but...
Well, also depends on like your discipline, because for us on a 10-show week, since we do so much acrobatics, we're doing two acts per show, where some people, you know, they have their solo act. And
right,
if like personally on a 10 show week, I can't train that much or else my legs will be jello whole show.
Yeah,
you
at
know?
Some point you have to stop after so much. So how much training is there in a day?
We do
mostly, it's actually, we block trainings by week. So like we train on a 10 show week once a week. And then on 8 shows per week, we usually train 2 to 3 times a week.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's usually a block of like an hour per discipline. So,
can I ask, you guys do such amazing stunts on the treadmill and when you hoop dive. It's so neat. How do you practice that without getting hurt? I mean, because you have to practice to become good at it. So at some point you might fall. Not that you guys have ever fallen. But how do you practice so you don't hurt yourself?
Well, you have like ways of doing it so that it's more safe. Like we put mats down and we use hula hoops instead of real hoops. So you're not dunking your head against a wooden hoop base and stuff.
Breaking some teeth.
But sometimes you take a little spill and you're like, oh, that, like you knock the wind out of yourself. You're like, oh, that hurt. But you get used to it, after a while. And then you just get up and do it again.
It's pretty, it's all calculated.
Because
I remember you guys telling me that you've been doing acrobatics like this since you were little kids.
Right.
So, I mean, this is something you're pretty used to, this whole routine, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, ever since we were kids, since we started so young, as kids, you don't hurt yourself as much, as a kid. It's like harder. Yeah. So we're used to like throwing ourselves in the air and then like just kind of using spatial awareness to like, oh, land on my feet now, So like that's a really good thing to have as an acrobat for sure.
Yeah. So explain how this started. You in Devin in San Francisco, Dominic in California, right?
So I grew up in the Bay Area in the East Bay.
Okay.
But we trained at the same place. So,
literally have known each other since you were little kids.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We were like part of the same youth circus growing up.
Okay.
So like both of our older brothers were in this youth circus with us, and basically like we kind of followed in their footsteps, and like they knew each other, they were best friends, we knew each other, we were best friends, and kind of just like built like that. And it was more of like a, an after school program thing where you're like, you're a bit with your best friends and you're like, you're just messing around, until recently, that it became a lifestyle, a job
like this.
So
really not that different from kids who take
gymnastics,
basketball. Yeah.
Just so they're in school and doing some kind of after school program.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you realize that you had, special abilities? And superpowers.
Special ability.
I don't even think about it.
As I said that, I realized I made you both sound like Avengers.
I could never.
Well, thank you.
Which is just
thanks
fine.
For the compliment.
Wow. But I mean, you're exceptional. You are exceptional athletes.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, we grew up like pushing each other. So like we had our youth circus and we were pretty much like kind of a bubble in ourselves because we always trained together. We worked out together. We hung out together all the time. So it was like we pushed each other to be better and better and better. And then like following in the footsteps of our brothers who are super good too. So I guess... I don't know. I never really realized it.
Yeah,
just kept doing it.
I think it's just something that kind of like comes about, you know, especially like seeing where people can get to with this art form, you know, and then you one day you just kind of decide, you know, I love doing this and it's really what I love doing that actually became something that was more, you know,
right.
And you realize it then that it's like the passion that you have for this art form is actually
What makes you
good at it.
What drives
it,
you.
What drives
right?
you, yeah, exactly.
Where you sort of crave it, I'll bet. Right?
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Let me take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more with Dominic and Devin. Cirque du Soleil's Lucia is just outside of the United Center in the big tents. It'll be there through September the 3rd. We'll tell you how to get tickets and all in just a minute. Dean Richards. 720 WGN. Forgot to mention how cool the music is for Lucia. In addition to visually everything that you're seeing, there is sort of a theme that is, I guess you might say Latin American. It's Mexican to be more specific. But the music is so cool and edgy.
Oh, it's great.
It's part of the experience.
And everybody in the audience, too, just kind of dancing along. And truly, there was not one... Anytime you see any musical or a play or something, there's maybe a quiet point or a down point. There was none of that. It was always on and always just so just entertaining.
Yeah, and we haven't even talked about the water, which, you know, it sounds like you're going to see Gallagher when you say that there's water involved in the show and, you know, people in the front row should be wearing ponchos or something. That's not at all what this is, but they incorporate the use of water to enhance some of the acrobatic acts, some of the acts, and the way that they do it is so beautiful and artful. What's it like for you guys to be, part of that?
It's pretty awesome. It's like you never expect to see rain falling in a tent. You know, you're in a tent, you're like, usually it keeps the rain out. And then on stage, you just have this huge curtain of rain coming down, and it's pretty... every time you see it, you're like, especially on stage when you're underneath the rain or something, you're like, wow, that's crazy.
It's crazy. But I mean, the way the water comes down also are in patterns that, as has been described to me by your artistic director, is kind of like an inkjet printer of
Absolutely.
Water. So they're able to create these beautiful designs and patterns in the water. But I got to think, if I'm an athlete and I'm trying to hold on to a pole or I'm trying to, you know, perform an act and it's pouring, raining on me.
Well, luckily we don't have rain in our acts. So, you know, we don't have to worry about that so much. But like...
And that's why we've brought this garden hose into the studio. So you get a little experience. You get some water. You get some water. You get some water.
No, but there's definitely like, I mean, you know, with the water show, you're going to have these moments where, okay, the floor is going to be completely drenched, you know, because it just rained all over the stage.
Yeah.
So they had to figure out ways to, you know, dry the stage, mop up the stage in order so that, like, the acrobatic numbers wouldn't have this kind of
slipperiness. Slipperiness,
you know?
It's like a big Zamboni.
It's a big, that's
like.
Exactly what they bring
is that
on.
What it is?
I don't even know if you guys noticed that in one of the acts, there's like, you know, cactus running around with these mini Zambonis, you know, and it's picking up all the water.
But also the stage is perforated. When you go up on the stage, it's perforated, that's sucking the water into a filtration system.
Absolutely.
To go
so,
back up.
So the water is recycled and reused.
Yeah.
It's just like the show is just so filled with creativity.
Yeah, it's genius.
Yeah, it's really.
So what's
really
the most
cool.
difficult part of the acts that you do?
I'm going to say, I mean, the acts that we do, it's definitely the treadmills. We're so used to performing with on a floor that's, you know, stable, stationary, not moving, and diving through the hoops that we've been doing since we were 5 years old, you know. And so when Cirque du Soleil approached us and basically said, hey, we need to do you guys to do an act on moving treadmills on a turning stage, you know, I mean, the first thing we were thinking is that's the most exciting thing I've ever heard, probably.
Dean, I can barely walk on the treadmill in the gym at level 2.
Right.
So that just kind of
But like imagine, this one's going at like 15, yeah, maybe.
And you're flipping up in the air and then landing perfectly
on it. Yeah, and diving through hoops.
Right. Like each of these treadmills, you've never seen one so big. They're like, each one is 10 feet long by 6 feet wide, you know, and it's like...
But there's like three of them.
Two. There's just two.
There's just two.
Yeah.
But it goes from one end of the stage to the other end of the stage.
Yeah, it's
two
long.
Treadmills.
It's long.
I think there's like maybe a 1.5 foot before the end of the treadmill, before the first person to the seat, you know. So it's like we're in everybody's faces as soon as we're right on the thing. But it's part of the excitement of the act, you know, is like to... fake like you're going to fall and, you know, make 16 people jump out of their seats. You know?
Oh, I jumped.
But the Chinese pole is also, I mean, what you guys do upside down and the things that you're able to do on the poles are amazing.
Stop
like an inch before you hit the ground.
Well, that's part of our...
They're upside down. They're upside down on the pole. They release themselves so they appear to be falling and literally stop a few inches from the ground.
That's actually a superhero trick that we...
Avenger.
That's definitely the superhero trick.
That's why I made you Avengers. Exactly why I made you guys Avengers. I interviewed both of these guys upside down. Have you ever been interviewed upside down before?
But it wasn't quite as good as yours, I don't think.
Exactly. You don't have
You've been
lot.
The best interviewer
you
so
have,
far.
You don't have to. Of course. That's all right. I'm just happy to have interviewed somebody upside down.
Yeah.
And I purposely dogged the interview. I tried to make it as long as I possibly could just to see how long they could be upside down.
It's true.
How long was the interview?
It was 10 minutes.
It was 10 minutes.
It was like maybe four or five
which
minutes.
Is long. So
that's
long.
We came down. Our heads were. Mine was red.
Yeah, I was feeling it.
Right.
He can put on with his fingerprint. Thanks, Dean Richards.
Yeah, exactly.
With the imprints and the red.
Exactly. Well, the show. The show is doing something really cool too. The city of Chicago has what's called the Year of Public Art, which they're displaying beautiful art and murals all over the city. Cirque du Soleil has donated a mural that will be at Congress Parkway and Holden Court that'll be unveiled, actually, tomorrow at 2:30 in the afternoon. So how cool. Thank you, Cirque du Soleil, for donating to the artistic community in Chicago. Did you guys see the artwork? You told me you were at a gallery...
No, so we didn't see it. We actually just met a woman who ran a gallery, and she said, "Oh, you're with Cirque du Soleil. Wow, I'm helping in making this public art happen." And we were like, "What are the chances that we walk into this gallery and this woman has, you know, an effect in it?" Because she owns this tiny little gallery in the Ukrainian village, and she's like, makes it all happen herself. She was really, really cool person.
Yeah. Did you say, Andre, that you interviewed?
Yesterday, we interviewed Gloria Talamantes, and she was about 90% done, 95% done yesterday. She was leaving the studio, going to finish up the mural, and it's going to be ready. I think it's going to be finished today, right? And the unveil is a little bit later on, tomorrow
at 2:30 in the afternoon.
It's absolutely remarkable because she's from Chicago. She's just brilliant. And the way she incorporates, you're going to love it, Dean, the way she incorporates the colors of Lucia into the mural is just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, and the theme of the play too.
Not a bit surprised. I mean, if it's to the theme of what Cirque du Soleil and Lucia does, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. You guys, thank you for coming in. It's so nice to see you again.
Thank you. From here,
when Cirque du Soleil leaves us in Chicago on September 3rd. You're going to Atlanta, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
All right. Well, try to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
It won't be as much fun as it is here.
Yeah, that I agree for now. Till I get to Atlanta, then I got to see
somebody else. Exactly right. Then tell them their interviews
that's
are the
it,
best.
That's it.
Yeah, then you're going to miss Dean interviewing you.
Right. You'll miss me when you're gone.
You could always come back to Atlanta, Dean.
Exactly. Just come interview us there.
I'm going to be one of those creepy Cirque du Soleil stalkers.
Yes.
Follow you around the country.
Can I interview you guys upside down?
Is the contortionist here?
I tried it on my coffee table.
Dominic Cruz, Devin Henderson, you guys, thank you very much for
thank you so much
coming
for
in.
Us.
Cirque du Soleil, as I say here, till September 3rd under the Big Top at the United Center parking lot. You can get tickets, show information at CirqueDuSoleil.com. /Luzia, L-U-Z-I-A. We will take a break, right? And then update news coming up next, WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
With Dean Richards in for Steve today. Getting ready for Bill and Wendy coming up at 10 o'clock. I don't think I have ever seen Andrea Darla so excited.
Ugh.
All the time that I've known you, I don't think I've ever seen you so happy and giddy.
I know.
As when our next guest walked into the studio.
I know. I thought Lucia was doing it, but when Mindy came in, oh my God.
Yeah, Andrea was like, Cirque du Soleil, who?
The drool, the drool is still like coming out of my mouth.
Mindy Siegel is a pastry chef and owner of Mindy's Hot Chocolate, one of the city's great edible spots.
Mm.
With all kinds of things that are coming up. Mindy, welcome. Nice to have you here with us.
Hi, good morning.
You see the effect that you're having?
I know. I feel like I should just come here all the time.
Right.
Okay.
I feel so good about myself.
That'd be great. Oh,
yeah. Oh. You show up with as much food as you did. That's bound to happen.
Freshly baked.
Mm.
Freshly baked this morning?
Uh-huh.
Very nice.
It's fantastic.
Very nice. What did you have?
I had it. Was it a, it looked like you a had, mini chocolate.
It was hot fudge arugula.
Oh. Come on. How could you not? And it's that chocolate. Yeah. My God. It's mini,
yummy.
It's fantastic. We used to go all the time for the pastries and
yeah.
for that. And then I went to, I was telling Mindy, I went to a birthday dinner at Hot Chocolate. It was one of the best steaks I've ever had in my life.
I know.
Food,
surprise,
the food
surprise.
Is fantastic.
We have good food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so modest. Oh, we have good food.
How, I'm proud
the
of
best
it.
Restaurants
How did this
in
all
Chicago.
Start for you, Mindy?
Baking? Cooking?
Just in general, yeah. And I mean, evolving to
sure.
what you have now.
I know, it's crazy. Well, when I was younger, I was grounded all the time. And so my...
A little bit of a troublemaker, were you?
I was terrible.
Yeah.
And so my parents let me like work in restaurants when I, you know, and I did, and I started liking it and I started baking and cooking. And next thing you know, I'm, you know, in culinary school and working in kitchens.
And when did, Mindy's Hot Chocolate, when did the concept of that, when did that?
2005. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Is going on 13 years.
Is that something that you've always wanted to do? I mean, when you were
yeah, you
back
know,
in culinary school, like was that
yeah,
your vision?
You know, I always knew that I wanted to kind of have my own thing and my own gig. So, you know, I worked for a while in the industry and just decided to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you just got to dive into the deep end. In cold water.
Yeah.
And your pastries are fun, too.
They're
the mini
fun and
donuts.
Good. Yeah, thank you. Thank
I mean, you.
I
go,
appreciate
it's
that.
It's unlike... No, I'm not just saying that. I mean, you go somewhere and, you know, there's your typical cake or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I don't
be.
Take myself too seriously. I
no,
think that's what it is.
No, the mini donuts and the mini... the, you know, just the...
They're just fun.
They are fun.
Yeah, and they taste good.
They do taste good.
Yeah.
I'll try another.
The do you think Chicago's culinary scene has added to and kind of encouraged you? It's such a welcoming environment, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's great. I've been in the industry for so long that, like, I feel like I'm one of the old ladies of the industry now, unfortunately, I don't know what it is. But, there's just so many young talent out there now. Chicago's definitely a really great food scene. Lots of great, very exciting things happening. So, it's nice to see it blossom.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's got to be, you're doing adventurous and edgy things in a city where the culinary scene is adventurous and edgy.
Yeah.
So it really sort of complements each other, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm so adventurous and edgy as I appear to be, but I just think my food is good and I like to cook for people. So I like people to come in and know what they're eating. But there's just some great stuff going on in Chicago. Can't keep up.
I'd be curious to know where you go. I mean, if you go out to eat, some of the places, you talk about a lot of the young up-and-coming
yeah.
chefs, whether it's pastry chef or sous chef or whatever it might
yeah.
be. Where do you like to go?
Well.
And when you go to dinner, do you kind of dissect it? And,
I mean, first of all, my husband and I eat at home a lot.
Yeah.
But, I will tell you my favorite restaurant in Chicago, which I mean, it's so – I love it. Buff House is my favorite restaurant. It's just a tiny little restaurant, and the food is delicious. The wine list is delicious. Cocktails are great. And it's just the service, everything about it. I love the restaurant. But I like other restaurants too. Yeah. You know, there's just some great, there's some great young energy in the city. You feel it. You can feel the vibe, you know?
Yeah, and there's going to be some super energy in September when Chicago yes. Gourmet comes back. That's like one of the biggest culinary events in the United States, really. It's like Lollapalooza for food.
Pretty much.
In Grant Park. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll tell you more about that and some of the things that Mindy is doing related to that. All coming up next. It's 950, 720 WGN. 953, wrapping up the Steve Cochran Show. It's Dean Richards in for Steve today. Bill and Wendy coming up after 10 o'clock. And Mindy Siegel, the owner of Mindy's Hot Chocolate, pastry chef, in with us today. Chicago Gourmet, Mindy, is it a cool event for chefs or is it just exhausting? Because you guys, when I go out to that, it's like you guys are working nonstop. And I always wonder, even though it's cool, I wonder if people go, boy, I regret doing this. I'm 10 times more exhausted than if I would be back at the restaurant.
Yeah, it's hard and it's hot. It's hard. But, I mean, it's just fun to get out there and to see people and to breathe fresh air. And, you know, I'm actually, to be honest with you, I'm usually out of town every year.
Oh, okay.
But many times. But this year's a special year. It's because it's their 10-year anniversary.
Yeah. I'm going to be – I haven't been for a couple of years either. I mean, it's literally – it's Lollapalooza food.
It's a lot going on.
You pay your admission and you go – from one tent booth to another, just sampling amazing food.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there on September 24th. I'm going to be hosting a cooking demonstration with our pal Art Smith and some others. So that's going to be really super fun. But tell us about this Sweets and Beats event. September 23rd.
Well, all the original chefs that did the first Chicago Gourmet, they asked us if we would do like little events outside of Chicago Gourmet. And when they were talking to me about it, they were like, well, you know, we're open to suggestions. And before they finished their sentence, I'm like, I want to do a dance party and I want to celebrate women chefs and I want to have a really good time. And I want it to be all women. Sorry. And, you know, so that's what we're doing. We're having really great pastry chefs and we're celebrating us.
So what will happen?
It's going to be a dessert tasting, and so it's all women pastry chefs and all women mixologists. So it's a cocktail party, and then we have like a really great woman DJ, and we're going to dance our off all night long.
I've heard that expression. That expression.
Girl power. Yep. And we're going to celebrate how great we are.
Yeah.
And I think that everybody should come and celebrate us.
Now, are we men?
Men are allowed.
Are we allowed to show up?
Men are allowed. Oh, okay. Everyone's allowed who wants to pay a ticket.
I'm so going.
Money knows no gender?
It's actually a really good deal. It's $85, I think. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty good deal to get. I mean, there's like 8 pastry chefs, 5 mixologists. I mean, it's a good deal.
Yeah,
Willis Tower.
And I was going to say, this is cool. It's going to be at the sky deck of Willis Tower.
Yes.
Which is amazing. I mean, I've been to functions up there like that. It's super cool to experience the city like that. But with this kind of event in particular, it'll be really fun.
I think so.
Yeah. So what?
I'm going to be there.
Yeah. Are there things at the restaurant, things that you want to do, things that you wanted to explore and get into that you haven't yet?
Yes.
What would those things be? I always appreciate a one-word answer, but what would some of those things be?
You know, I'll tell you. I have been cooking for 30 years. I just turned 50 this year. And I have made some decisions in my life to do things. I figure I'm going to retire when I'm 70. So I have 20 years left.
Right.
And because I still love what I do. So I'm working on a new project that I think is going to be my passion project.
Okay.
But I can't tell you what it is.
That's okay. But
when will we all find out and be very excited about it.
Okay.
It's going to be good for Chicago.
All right. We can't. What? That's a perfect tease.
Yeah.
The Sweets Stay and Beats tuned. Event will be on Saturday, September 23rd, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. at Willis Tower, the 103rd floor of Willis Tower. You can get more information at chicagogourmet.org. And Mindy, thank you for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you for making Andrea so giddy.
Yeah, oh God, I love
I'm
it.
So happy. I'm going to this too.
Are you in a sugar
Sweets
crash right now?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have another. Because there's donuts with little hearts in the middle.
Oh, well, there you go.
Mindy's the best.
All right, a quick break, and then Bill and Wendy coming in next WGN.